Welcome everybody, and the and I hope everybody enjoyed the first Shirim. I'm sure you did. So now we're going to do a Shir in Purim as a day of Tefillah, the unique Tefillah of Purim. I started off today with thank yous, and when I thank several people. The one group of people I didn't thank was the people sitting in the room. It's not muvan me'ilav that people come out on a Sunday morning for Shirim week after week. Sometimes whenever they could come. And for a Sunday like this, to be able to dedicate several solid hours to Torah is definitely not muvan me'ilav. It speaks volumes about the community. And as somebody that is here to learn Torah together with people, it's something which I definitely appreciate. So thank you for that. So regular Sunday morning, we're going through sugyos and tefillah. So I figured we'll talk about the tefillos of Purim. And in general, we've been describing different types of tefillos. There's Sheva, Hodah, Bakasha, Hallel. So what type of tefillah is supposed to be manifest in Purim? What is the primary modality of tefillah on Purim? So what I want to do is to go through 2.5 perspectives about what is the Iker type of tefillah on Purim. What are we davening for? What types of tefillahs are we supposed to be doing on Purim? So the first perspective is going to be a little bit on the Hasidic side, but coming out of the Gemara.
Yes.
The Gemara and Daf Yudalit, thank you. Starting with a little Chassidus, we're here in this room, we have to start with a little bit of Chassidus before we get to the more depressing Torah. The Gemara and Daf Yudalit and Aleph, it describes the source for why Chazal felt they were able to create a new mitzvah of Kriyas and Megillah. That in general, it's a violation of Baal Tosif, you're not supposed to add on to mitzvahs. What gave Chazal the ability to create a new Chag of Purim? That's what the Yerushalmi's question is. The obvious question is more about Kriyas and Megillah. The Gemara says because it's a Kal v'chomer from Pesach. On Pesach, the Jews were saved They were saved from Avos Zecheiros. So certainly on Purim, we should celebrate when Jews were saved from Mimisa L'Chaim. They were saved from literal extermination into life. Then the Gemara asks, we're picking it up on source number one. Yachi halanami neva. If you're modeling Purim off of Pesach, if you're saying whatever Pesach has, Purim is supposed to have. Because Purim is a higher level celebration than Pesach, so why don't we say Hallel on Purim? The Gemara has three answers. The first answer: if you don't say Hallel for Neset according to Kotzaretz, the Gemara says that Pesach happened Kotzaretz. The Gemara said at that point he hadn't yet entered Eretz Israel. So that's the first answer. Neset Kotzaretz, we don't say Hallel. Rav Nachman Amar Kriyasa Zuhelila. What's Rav Nachman's answer? We are chayiv in Hallel on Purim, and really we do say Hallel on Purim. What is the Hallel that we say on Purim?
Megillah.
Megillah's Esther itself. So what does that indicate about the nature of Kriyas and Megillah, the nature of Tefillah on Purim? If the Kriyas and Megillah is the form of Hallel, then what are we doing on Purim?
Davening all day.
Davening all day. And what type of Tefillah is it?
Praise.
Hallel. Shira. The Hasidim in particular took this Gemara and ran with it. Purim is a day of Shabbat and Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not just a regular Hallel. The fact that Hallel is said in a unique form, it's said through Kriyas Megillah, might even indicate that it is a higher form of Hallel, a form of Hallel that where the praise doesn't even have to be said explicitly, a type of Hallel where Yad Hashem is so clear, and it's so clear, like if you understand what I'm saying, that we're so clear that we're in a deep conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we don't even have to say the words explicitly. Nashim Yishmuel has a beautiful piece about this. He says that we read the Megillah by day and by night. And what do we know about Hallel? When is Hallel usually recited?
Pesach.
On Pesach. Only time it's recited at night is Pesach. The Mishnah Megillah says you only say Hallel during the day. The only exception is Pesach. Shem Shmuel asks, but we read Kriyas Megillah by night. If Kriyas Megillah is Hallel, then how could we sing Shira at night? What's his answer? Why in general, if you're Chassidus, we not say Hallel at night? Because nighttime represents a dulling of the senses. At nighttime, our physical bodies go to sleep. Our spiritual minds are also a little bit dulled. He says it's b'chinat hit'almut, a little bit of ignoring what is going on. In order to sing Shira HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do we have to do? You have to pay attention. You have to realize. You have to understand what Yad Hashem in history, the Yad Hashem in your personal life. So daytime is generally speaking, the time when that happens. Nighttime, when our senses are dulled, we can't see very far, then we can't say Hallel. But that's for a regular Chag. Leil Pesach is unique that it has the status of the daytime. Because Leil Pesach, Yad Hashem is so clear that it permeates even the night. What does the Midrash say about Purim? Purim is the one Chag that is going to exist in its clearest form, La'asadavo. Look at the last line over here, the underlined line.
And Olam Haba as well.
La'karkach, Leil Purim, Shekal v'chomer mi'yitziyas Mitzrayim, Misal Chayim, lo kol shekein.
Wow.
That that Leil Purim signals a messianic reality. Purim makes us into the mindset of what life is going to be like in Yemos Mashiach. Yemos Mashiach is not going to be a distinction between day and night. Laila k'yom ya'ir, we're going to be able to see Yad Hashem in every single aspect of our lives, every single aspect of history. So of course, dafka on Purim, we can read the Megillah, which is a form of halo, a night. So according to Shem B'Shmuel, it's not just that Kriyas Megillah is a form of Shavak Vodzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is the ultimate Shavak Vodzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is Me'in Olam Haba, Me'in Yemos Mashiach, and that's why Gedach could be said at night. Source number 3, the Taurus MS. I do not know who the Taurus MS is. Leibel Eger?
He wrote Sefer Taurus MS.
Thank you so much. Because at first I thought it was the Apter Rebbe, who also wrote a Sefer Taurus MS, but then I saw the Yerut overkill.
There's also a Kotsk Taurus MS.
Thank you.
But Leibel Eger is more like.
So this is a good place to come in with a Hasidic source. I don't know what it is, and to find it. I found this in a Likud Sefer.
You can't find that in YU,
can you? Gotta get the right professors. But I found this in a Hasidic Likud Sefer on Purim. Some time ago, and it's quoted the Taurus MS Tafresh Kavav. I thought it was the Apter Rav.
This is his Lashon. He always says this Lashon. Shabbos Mazal.
This is amazing. Thank you so much.
That's for Leibel
Eger. But look what he says. This is it's a fantastic horse. It says Shabbos Yim Lizvik Gufura Korav Lavo. Right, the Gemara in Shabbos says if you visit a sick person on Shabbos, according to Montana, this is what you're supposed to say. I can't daven for you, but because it's Shabbos, Gufura Korav Lavo. You're talking in Gam Al Purim. And Purim also is not a time for Tzaatka, not a time for Parkasha. Can you say for our Kadosh, Avodas Yisrael? Like I said, the question from Magid says, Shapurim will make aim Kedusha Shabbos. Kamoshin Amar v'noach ma'yaveyem. What is Purim? V'noach ma'yaveyem. What does v'noach remind us of? Menuchas Shabbos. Shabbos Menucha. Shemila says, Noach mora Kedusha Shabbos makarana kakura nakaya. Here's the underlying part, the key part. K'shem sheva Shabbos ein shayach shum za'aka, ki b'kedushas Purim nimtak hakol. Shekamo shayya gam kin b'purim ein shayach shum za'aka. Purim is dafka a time of Shira, of Hallel. It is not a time for Tzaka, for Bakasha, for crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because what is Shabbos about? Shabbos is a time when we see Yad Hashem, Rabbi Menucha, we're able to connect back to our source. So Bakasha, crying out to Hashem to change reality, is not necessarily something that is relevant or something that is applicable on Shabbos. There are times in our life when we have to cry out for Hashem to change reality, because we're not living in a Shabbos-like reality constantly. But Shabbos is the time to focus on the here and now, how the Hashem is here, the world is perfect as it is. Purim, according to the Taurus MS, according to Leibel Eger, it's also like that. That's why the Purim, the type of tefillah we do in Purim is Hallel, and it's dafka the epitome of Hallel, the best type of Hallel, that type of Hallel that we're going to sing La'asalabo. You don't even have to say the words. Kriyasa, just reading the Megillah, understanding the story of your life, that itself is the highest form of Hallel. That's why it can be done at night. So that's one modality, one type of tefillah on Purim. But, so looking at some of the Gemaras, so looking at some of the Rishonim, you will find that there is a different type of tefillah that could also be emphasized on Purim. Look at the source number 4. This is a fantastic source. Amar Mishael ben Levi. This is the source for how you know you're supposed to read the Megillah twice, not just the daytime and nighttime as well. Chayiv adam likros is the Megillah b'layla l'shnos b'yom. A person has to read the Megillah at night and also and repeat it during the day. Shenemar. Elokai ekra yomam v'lo sa'ana v'layla v'lo du mi'ali. This is a pasuk from Ayala Tashachar from Tilim Perek, which the Gemara associates is Esther's tefillah before she goes into Achashverosh. What is this pasuk talking about? Elokai ekra yomam v'lo ta'ana v'layla v'lo du mi'ali. What type of tefillah is Esther saying she's crying out? Clearly, this is not Shabbat. It's a tzaka. It's a bakasha. Hashem, I'm crying out to you day, night, and you're not answering. This is a tzaka of Hester Panim, where you don't see a Rishbaka in your life. You can't sing Shira of Rishbaka. It is a pure tzaka. It is a bakasha in halachic terminology. You look at the second Pasuk Gemara quotes, L'mani zinachah kavod b'l'yidam, Hashem elokai li'olam b'daka. That's the source, the second source, for why we read Megillas Esther twice. That is a Pasuk about Shira. That is a Pasuk about Hallel. But the first pasuk that gets quoted by the Gemara is pasuk about sa'aka about bakasha. So that is indication number one that maybe there is a place or a primary place for sa'aka, for bakasha on Purim. And what are we talking about? We're not talking about just davening shachar. We're talking about kriyas ha'megillah. So kriyas ha'megillah is an expression of what type of tefillah according to the simple read of the Gemara? Sa'aka, bakasha. There are other indications that this is true. Look at Megillah Daf Beis. The Gemara is trying to figure out that the Mishnah says that the Kfarim, the small towns, they would sometimes read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, 13th, before the 14th. before the 14th. The Gemara is looking for sources that you're able to be makdim, able to read the Megillah early. So the Gemara says, we have a pasuk bizmanehem. There are times in plural, so we see there are two extra days, not just the 14th, but two other days you're allowed to read the Megillah. So the Gemara says, Dima Tresar Tlesar, maybe you should read the Megillah on the 12th and the 13th. How do you know the 11th? The Gemara says like this, Kadamar of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Shlosha Asar Zman Kilo Lakal, Vlotzar Lerbuye. The 13th, it's obvious, you're allowed to read the Megillah on the 13th of Adar. Why? 13th of Adar is Zman Kila Lako. So, of course, you can read the Megillah on the 13th, Zman Kila. What does Zman Kila mean? What happened on the 13th of Adar?
Muhammad.
So, yeah, look at Rashi. Rashi on the top of the next page. Skip around a little bit. Rashi says, Zman Kila Lako. Akol Nikado Dina Kim Ayyavahan. That was the day of the war. Look at the end of Rashi. Ikar Anes Bohaya, the main nace was on the 13th. So of course you read the Megillah on the 13th. So there's this drasha of Zmanahan has to be going on the 11th and the 12th. But most Rishonim argue on Rashi. Most Rishonim say, what does it mean that the 13th is Zman Kila? Not that it is Zman Kila, and therefore you can read the Megillah because that is the war. What type of Kila, what type of coming together is Gemara talking about? What do we do on the 13th of... We fast. It's Zman, it's not Esther. Look at the Rush. The Rush says, if you're shipping on Psalms, that's number 6. Zman ki lelakol, shakom mit asfin litanis Esther. Uvayim b'nei kfarim la'yaros, lomor slichos v'tachanunim. That what happens on the 13th, that is a day when Jews come together to daven together. Tanis Esther, a zecher for the Tanios that happened during the Purim story. Fantastic. And what did the Gemara say? Because Jews are coming together to fast and daven and say slichos, what does the Gemara then say? What is obvious?
Megillah.
You should be able to read the Megillah on that day. Fantastic. It's a wild tzara. The Gemara doesn't explain the connection. But the fact that Jews are coming together on Tanis Esther for slichos, for Tanis, to tzaka, for bakasha, that means it's pasha to the Gemara, you should be able to read the Megillah on the 13th of Adar. So clearly, you see a different perspective over here. The Kriyas and Megillah is an expression not just of Hallel, of Shir of Tishbakos, but it's also of Bakasha of Tzaka.
Yeah, it's filled with Bakasha from Esther and Malka.
And it's good, and it's filled with Bakasha. It's a whole, right, it's the word Bakasha is like a leitmotif in the whole Megillah. Like, what is your Bakasha? Ma Bakasha Seich?
What's
that?
Bakasha Seich. So what are we to make of this? Why would Megillas Esther be expression of a bakasha, of a tzaka, and not just of Shira and Shira and Hallel? So I think there are two ways to go. One is more salvatory, and one is a little bit more morbid. So depending which one you like, you can take either one. One approach is more salvatory. This is from the Sefer Kuntres Chanukah Megillah, or Chanukah Purim. It's from Rev Chaim Aaron Turkachin, I think his name is. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, one of the early Talmidim of Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, after he fled the Holocaust and came to Israel. He set up a small chabura around his kitchen table, I think. That's when she was brisk. I think they still give shir around a table or something. That's nice. What the Brisker Rav did. Like this, I guess. Yes, a little bit like a Hasidic Farbengen. Like, I can't imagine the Brisker Rav had food when he was giving shir. Or even if he allowed people to eat. It seems like a very scary place. I don't think people would want to eat. But he was one of the early Talmidim of the Brisker Rav in Eretz Israel. So he says like this. Yes, clearly the Gemara assumes that Bakasha and Sa'aka is part and parcel of Megillas Esther. But for what purpose? Why are we emphasizing Bakasha and Sa'aka when we read the Megillah? And why is that part and parcel of Kriyas and Megillah? It's like this. Because what happened on Purim? What does Purim demonstrate to us? That tefillah works. That bakasha works. That what happened? The Jews were faced with extermination. They were faced with a decree, with the genocidal decree. And what did they do? Lake Knosis called the Yehudim. They get them together and they daven. And therefore, what emerges from Megillas Esther?
Salvation.
Salvation because due to what? Due to bakasha, due to tzaka. We were talking about tefillah ve'esara all throughout the year. And where do we see in Tanakh that Tefillah Be'ez Sarah works and works big time? Megillas Esther. So it's not that we want to emphasize Bakasha because we have to scream out on Purim because our lives are not amazing. Why is Megillas Esther an expression of Bakasha and Sa'aka? Because that's what the Jews did. That's what the Jews did back then. And it shows us that it works. So it's a form of Pursum Nisa to understand the greatness of the Nes and the greatness of the fact that Tefillah works. So we're simulating that in Purim. That's why Tanis Esther always comes before Purim. And the Lamdas, Tanis Esther and Purim are usually linked together in a variety of ways. Because part and parcel of Pursum Nisa of Purim is understanding that that Tefillah works and Hashem does Nisan for us if we die. Who says this? The Rambam. Let me just read the Rambam inside. They don't take the comment. The Rambam has a sefer mitzvot. He lists 613 mitzvot. Then he talks about the mitzvot of the Rabbanim. And he says the mitzvot of the Rabbanim are in our Baal Tosef for a variety of reasons. And he explains why Chazal were talking to read the Megillah. He says, look at the underlying part, verse number 8. Ukidei lehudia ledoros habayim. She'emes ma shiftichanu b'torah. Ki mi goy gadal sherlo lokim k'rovim ilav. Ki Hashem adokinu b'chal k'reinu ilav. What is manifest? What is expressed through Kriyas Megillah? That Hashem listens to our tefillos. So part of the pursuit of Nisa is not just that Hashem saves us. Hashem saves us because of our tefillos. And therefore, Kriyas Megillah itself is going to be considered halakhically as a bakasha, not because right now we need a bakasha, maybe it's soik to Hashem, but because we want to tap into the fact that the Nisa occurred through tefillah. Sir Rosh, I'm sorry, yeah.
It's just, I find it, again, the form of spirit, but the halakha, that the chassidish sources are the, like, more, you know, less focused on tefillah. And it's
the different type of
sources in the Gemaras are more focused on tefillah and tzedakah.
I think it's part of the simcha purim. I mean, in la salava, there's no more need for bakasha and tzedakah. It's just shira and halal. Again, they're all.
We're just beyond that.
I'm also cherry picking my sources to dramatize the point. Meaning there are definitely chassidic sources talking about tzedakah and bakasha and purim.
Does anybody talk about how, you know, when a poor person on purim, you have to give them
next source? Josh, amazing. So this is why the Shulchan Aruch Paskins call a poshe yad. And Purim, you shouldn't do background checks for aniyim, just give anybody money. And the Hasidim, all the way back, I think it's actually the Baal Shem Tov, I didn't do the research, which is where it comes from, this phrase, call a poshe yad, anybody who stretches out a hand, give it to him, that is also about our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
It's not brought down before this time?
I think it's a Hasidish idea, it could be, I'm not sure. But it definitely appears in a bunch of Chassidish Sfarim. I just gave you source number 9 from the friend of the Lubavitcher Rebbe about having a bakasha for Mashiach. That the Purim is a day of skula that Hashem will answer your tefillos. So again, the kol poshed yad, that who are we to ask for Mashiach? Because it's Purim. And Purim, whoever, anybody who stretches out their hand, you should give them. Well, we stretch out our hands to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is going to answer us. So again, it's emphasizing bakasha, but bakasha in a way that we're certain it's going to be answered as a form of pursuit minisa, of understanding the greatness of the miracle, which has to do with our ability to be tzoik to Hashem, and then Hashem's, the assured response that we're going to receive.
This is the original tefillah works bummer.
Tefillah, I guess so, yeah. It's called Pashinah. It's Megillah's Esther's. It's actually fascinating. In the Pshat and the Megillah itself, they don't dab. There's no tefillah mentioned in Pshat and the Megillah. All they do is come together. Late Kenosis called the Yudin. The Midrashim, all the way back to the Septuagint, they start adding in tefillos. Because, like, what are they doing when they're together? So they have to assume they're not having.
Pashat Yad is not brought in Halacha?
It's in Shachar. It's in the Ramah, but it's about Tztaka. It's not about our tefillos.
Yeah. Oh, that's in the...
Yeah, that's what the Chassidish Sfarim take it from there to our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch
Hu. You're saying Purim is a good day for the nation to ask
us? Ask, yeah.
So is it at all interesting that the tefillah will be divided because you've got a two-sided point? All the Maltese are dominating on one day, everyone else is dominating on another.
So you miss Rabbi Isaac Shear, and you were here with Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Isaac Shear is about why that happens.
I couldn't be two places.
At once, I'm sorry.
We had the recording.
So just to finish up, that is one approach as to why bakasha is emphasized as a being integral to Kriyas Megillah. So we have Kriyas Megillah as a form of halal, shiro is a Hashem. Kriyas Megillah as a form of bakasha, but emphasizing the response. Then we have our Soloveitchik. Soloveitchik found the Makoros that tefillah is a day of bakasha because we are in crisis.
Purim,
sorry, yeah. Thank you. What did I say? Tefillah. Yeah, Purim is a day of bakasha because we're in crisis. You would think Purim is the happiest day of the year. Of course, you should skip Tachanun. We skip Tachanun in Purim. Book of Source number 9, or a Seder of Amram Gon, this is quoted in the Torah. Ve'ein omrim halo b'Purim, matam, v'she'ein omrim halo nishim chatzlaretz, v'fika nofel adam apana b'Purim. Kach amar Rav Amram Mashashna, that you have nefilas chatayim. You say Tachanun.
Source
number 10. You say Tachanun on Purim. Fantastic. Even according to Armin, sorry? Yeah. Even according to Armin, we don't say Tachanun on Purim. There was a major issue in the Rishonim. Do you say Avinu Malkeinu and Tachanun on Tanis Esther going into Purim? So Armin says we don't, except for this year when Tanis Esther is on a Thursday. But on a regular year, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu on Mincha going into Purim. Many Rishonim did. If you look at the source number 11, the Shibalei Lakit says, you treat it like a regular fast day like a regular Mincha of a fast day. And that goes directly into Purim. Connected with this is the fact that Purim doesn't have the status of a chag in terms of Yom Simcha. Look at source number 14. This is a Shulchan Aruch. This is a Machlokas Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. Kol Devri Avilos Noagim Chanukah Purim. The Chanukah and Purim are not Mevatel Avilos. Every chag is a din of Simcha. Simcha is Mevatel Avilos. If you're sitting Shiva and Pesach happens, you stop sitting Shiva. According to Sephardi Pesach, this is the Rambam. This is a lot of Rishonim. You don't stop Avilos for Purim. Ashkenazi Pesach is that it's not Mevatel Avilos. You don't do the Rambam Shabbasia. You don't sit Shiva. If you do the Rambam Shabbasana, you still keep. So you see.
So you're still sitting or no?
You're not sitting. Okay. Now, Soloveitchik, even though he's Ashkenazi, he has actually sat Shiva on Purim for, I think, pretty much relative. Because, I don't know, I'm forgetting if he followed just passing with Rambam, or just like didn't want to get up or something like that, but yeah, I think he sat Shiva on Purim.
What about the Chiluk and the Minhag of saying the Niggun from
Eicha?
Eicha,
yeah, I guess
it's so. Some Chassidim don't say.
Some don't say. Ah, I guess. Good.
Tona don't say.
They don't say.
Other Chassidim, for sure, do say. And definitely the Litvak.
Definitely the Litvak.
My Rebbe always says, I love that part. That's their favorite. That's my Rebbe Shechiva. Yeah.
So
part of the Megillah.
So here you have sources that there is a Bakasha Tzaka element to Purim to create some Megillah, and it's not just like celebratory that we know there's going to be a response, but it's mamish Bakasha and Tzaka. So where does that come from? So again, you take it or leave it, but this is Rav Soloveitchik's approach to Purim. Purim is a day of tefillah of tzaka and bakasha. Why? It's not a true day of simcha. It doesn't have a lot of simcha to it. It's a day of external simcha, but not internal simcha. The way it exists on a chag. This is one quote from his book, The Days of Deliverance. He writes like this: the Megillah is not just a story of triumph. It is a book of despair, human insecurity, particularly Jewish insecurity and instability. True, the Jews succeeded in defeating Haman. There was a great miracle. The Jews were saved. Of course, we have to celebrate this miracle. The Jews were saved. We have to celebrate. But there was no guarantee, no security. Who was the king at the end of the story? Same Achashverosh. That's what the last answer to the Gemara in Megillah. Why do we say Hallel on Purim? Because Akati Avdei Achashverosh on that. We're still the servant of Achashverosh.
Still giving mass.
He's still giving mass. He's still doing taxes. He's still doing things that are random, capricious, totally, totally arbitrary. So yes, he got rid of Haman. But maybe 5 years from now, it's going to be a new Haman. It's going to be somebody else that has some that because of internal politics within the Persian government. To grow into bad mouth and scapegoat the Jews. There's no guarantee, there's no security. That is why Chazal did not introduce the concept of Simcha as it was recommended by the Torah vis-a-vis the three festivals. Rather, they introduced a different concept of Simcha, gaiety, fun, which is just acting and is not sincere. But this is a very, very unique perspective of Purim. The concept of Lifnei Hashem is not applied to Purim. We do not celebrate Purim like Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. The victory is not final, the triumph is not decisive, a repetition is possible. That is why we cannot equate the celebration of Purim, Simchas Torah, with joy of the festival. And that's why Soloveitchik says, that's why in the yeshivas of the Gaonim, they said Tachanun on Purim. That's why saying Avinu Malkeinu on the day before Purim makes perfect sense. Because Purim is a time when we celebrate a temporary salvation. Hashem did an is for us. And we have to celebrate. We have to say thank you to Hashem. We have Purim. But is there internal simcha? Is there internal security? Do we know for sure it's not going to happen again? He goes in this essay. He goes through the stories of Jews and Galus over and over and over again. Jews are just sitting on the side.
How do we have a Lassi Lavo then, according to that?
Ah, good. It's good. I don't know. Yeah. So I think this is Rav Sol. I think this is, and then I think Rav Isaac spoke about Purim as a diaspora holiday versus the Eretz Yisrael holiday. This is, I think, a very, very. This is a Purim as a chag for Jews and Galus. Where yes, you have to thank Hashem for the salvation, but you never know when the next thing is going to happen. You never know when, because of internal Polish and Russian politics, people are going to scapegoat and start doing shmad against, start making zeros against the Jews. Maybe Purim is a day of simcha, but deep, deep down, it's a simcha which expresses a deep insecurity, a deep instability, and therefore it's a day of deep, deep bakasha and deep, deep tsa'aka to Hashem, and Megillas Esther is an expression of that, of Esther's crying out to Hashem, Hashem, please save us throughout this long galus.
So why don't we read it on time?
Good question. So he said you have to separate these two things. Well, we do want to celebrate Purim. We want to celebrate salvation, but the themes are going to be intertwined. So whatever perspective you enjoy in Purim, the pure, pure Shabbat Vodah, Hasidic perspective, Shabbat Milizuk applies to Purim. It's not a day of Tzak and Bakasha at all. Or Purim is a day of Bakasha. Bakasha in a celebratory way, because we're assured Hashem is going to respond to our tefillos, or Tzak in a real way, in a crisis way, that we don't know what's going to happen in the future. I think even for Jews in Eretz Yisrael, I think this year we can appreciate that perspective a little bit. And Emir Hashem, all of our tefillos should come together, the halal aspect of Purim, the two elements of Akasha and Purim, and Hashem should answer our tefillos and should be able to sing explicit halal on Purim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yeshua that he's going to do for us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.